We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
O'clock hour prize, your chance to win $15 to Protein House just for listening. Ryan, make it simple to win.
I do like to keep it easy on the people. All you have to do is right this very moment be caller number.
Ah, that's a good one. Let's go caller number 20. I couldn't think. 20.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a great question, Ryan. What caller should I pick?
Good 20. Stuff, Bob.
Caller number 20.
That's... Isn't that Jalen Ramsey's number 20?
Yeah, good stuff, Bob.
That's real good stuff from you. Appreciate that. What did Binkley think about it?
Good stuff.
That's what I thought.
Caller 20.
I'm going to wear that thing out. 913-576-7610. I'll hook you up with $15 to the Protein House. Go get some of those peanut butter balls.
And you know what? If you want some in person, you can see us on Friday out at Rally House.
They bringing the balls?
They're bringing the protein shakes. I know for a fact they're doing some shakes, and I would imagine they do the protein balls because those are a hit at every event that we do. So we will be at Rally House Town Center on Friday. Breakfast from Protein House. Ryan is grilling hot dogs as well, so we can have that.
Balls and wieners.
Giving you a chance to win a Patrick Mahomes jersey. You have to come out and register to win. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show. You don't have to be present, but you have to show up between 6 and 10 to Rally House in Town Center. And every hour, we're giving away a Rally House gift card as well. So there's something
good
to
stuff.
Win every hour. And the opportunity for you to win a Patrick Mahomes jersey. So get your butts out to Rally House Town Center on Friday. A lot of famous people are going to be out there, like Fat Mahomes.
Oh, I thought the list continued.
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought there was just a pregnant pause for emphasis.
Is quarterback Pat going to be out there?
No, but we are going to have a conversation with him after his birthday, find out what he did for his birthday. So I think we'll catch up with him. Busy on Friday mornings, it turns out.
I've hit refresh. You've hit refresh.
No, I've stopped hitting refresh because I know it's not happening.
Oh.
I'll get a text.
Okay.
Get notifications.
Oh, Mr. I get a text over here.
Well, you sign up for the 610 text thing, and it sends you a message when something happens.
Yeah, I don't think
pretty sure we don't do
pretty
that.
Pretty sure we don't do that anymore. No.
I wonder why I haven't been getting any texts.
No. We don't do it.
Blake Bell.
So you're not getting texts. No, keep hitting refresh. Nothing going on with Jalen Ramsey. Ian Rappaport reported didn't think there would be a trade today because they're playing tomorrow against the Titans.
Right.
He's also said, Ramsey, that is, that Nashville would be one of those places he'd go.
He said Nashville and Las Vegas and on
Las
a
Vegas
podcast.
Were his two. Of course, he was on a podcast with a Tennessee Titans player.
Right. Taylor Lewin, I think it was, right?
So you may be swayed. I'd love to come play with you. Well, whatever. But they're playing on Thursday night. So he's saying the likelihood of a trade today is unlikely.
Right. He'll play tomorrow, then maybe get traded on Friday after the game. Where he ends up, nobody knows. But as of now, and everything we've talked about over the last 2 days, it doesn't look like Kansas City is a destination for him. Therese Paylor, Diana Rossini, all hearing the exact same things that I'm hearing, is that they just don't feel like he's a fit. And for whatever reason, it's not a player. They don't think he's a good football player. They do, but there's some locker room concerns with him. And ultimately, he probably wants a new contract to be traded. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal as well. When you trade for a lot of these guys, you got to work out that new contract. And the Chiefs have other pressing needs, like, I don't know, number 15 and, Chris Jones. Those two guys need to get their contracts. And I think the team right now obviously is more committed to those two guys than they would be to Jalen Ramsey. Like maybe if Jalen Ramsey wanted to be traded and you knew he was going to play this year and next year and you didn't have to give him that new deal to keep him happy, maybe it is something that you consider. But clearly this guy's been driven by money, Josh, for the last couple of years. He did show up in a Brinks truck to work. I mean, so when you got a guy like that, the team just looks at it and goes, yeah, he's a good football player, but He brings a lot of distraction with him. And, you know, quite honestly, we're focused on football right now. We don't want that other distraction right now. And I can't say that I blame them if they have a feel of who their team is and what their team's about. If they don't want to add that distraction in, I totally understand that. I would love to have him as a football player, but you have to trust what this organization's doing. Since Andy Reid has come into Kansas City, they've been pretty damn successful. And is Jalen Ramsey the missing piece? Maybe he is the missing piece, but maybe Patrick Peterson is that missing piece as well. We'll see how it all eventually plays out. But as of right now, where we are today, it doesn't look like Jalen Ramsey will be a Chief. But of course, all that can potentially change.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say just bring him in for this season and tell him he's going to cash in somewhere else.
Sure.
He's got a,
but he has another year left.
He's got a fifth-year option that's
right,
almost $14 million.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's a lot of money, though. But when you factor in what you're going to give Chris Jones and what you factor in what you've already given Tyreek Hill and what you factor in what you're going to give the quarterback, all of a sudden, you're not going to have that room.
Well, but if you believed you could even just maneuver that without a long term, but he's not looking. He wants the add-on years.
Right.
I don't want the add-on years at this point in time.
And I don't think the
Chiefs want
the
add-on years. I don't think I can afford the add. I'm looking at the math. I'm like, I don't know if you could do this.
Right.
I would figure out this season, and then maybe if I can work out the money to make it work for next season, you think $14 million? Okay, I can do the math. Give the one. Okay, give me two. You gonna play hard for two seasons for us, or is it gonna be like this?
I think that's the fear. Like,
it's gonna be like
what's gonna happen in St. Joe if they go to St. Joe next year? Is this guy gonna show up with armored guards and Brinks trucks and money coming from the sky? I mean, like they just don't want that. You know, like that's not Andy Reid's MO right now.
I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'd rather have, if from just a straight football standpoint, I would rather have Jalen Ramsey over Chris Jones. Like, I would rather have that player on my team for the next 5 years.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, cornerback, a shutdown corner like that is one of the most difficult things outside of a franchise quarterback to find.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Binkley yesterday talking at night. He says you get the quarterback, the left tackle, the pass rushing end, and the cornerback, and you're locked and loaded and ready to go. Really, the only thing that the Chiefs don't have in that situation, that scenario, is the cornerback. Like, Jalen Ramsey makes you a better football team. I'm all for bringing the football player in. I think it'd be a great addition for this team. But for whatever reason, as we just kind of talked about,
can't play scurred.
But I'm with you, Ryan. If the plan was if I can only do one or the other, I'd go Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, I'm on the edge of this. Like, to me, scared money don't make money, Bob. And if we're going to continue to go down that road, like...
Oh, you're preaching to the wrong guy, man. Talk to Andy Reid about this. Andy, talk to Clark.
Andrew,
talk to Veach. Talk to the...
Talking, you know, to you, Brett.
You know, the guys who are running the league. You're looking at me like I'm sitting
study
here...
Study long, study
making,
wrong.
Pulling Snoop stuff dog out of my rear on this one. I'm not saying this. I'm just giving you the information. I'm just a messenger on this one, man. Don't kill the messenger.
Chris in Overland Park, he's your winner. Protein House was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Our 60th anniversary Chiefs interview this week is former offensive coordinator Al Saunders. He drops by next.
Let's go in the morning.
We continue to celebrate 60 years of the Chiefs, bringing you an interview each and every week. Wednesdays at 9:15, someone that was influential in the organization, good or bad, right? There's been some
absolutely
great stuff that has happened, but a lot of good things offensively.
To hear back from Todd Haley, speaking of the bad,
he's not got back to say. But speaking of the good, yeah, we'd have liked them to win more, but the offense was certainly churning with Al Saunders as the offensive coordinator. One of the best people you'll ever meet as well.
One of my favorite people of all time in the NFL.
You know, we rarely have anybody that's like, hey, I appreciate talking to you guys. Al Saunders.
Once they get out of it, they love talking.
Yeah, usually what that is. But shares a bunch of his thoughts about being in Kansas City, starting off first with, did he ever think he would be part of this community and part of this franchise for so long?
I didn't anticipate being there. I was with the San Diego Chargers for 7 years, and then Marty hired me in Kansas City, but when I looked from one office to the other and saw some of those coaches that we had on the staff, like Tony Dungy was on one side and Bill Cowher was on the other side, and Howard Budd was across the hallway, and Gunther Cunningham a couple of years later was down the hallway, and Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach. I thought we'd be there for a long time, and we had some great players during those years, and it was really a fun place to be with arguably one of the best owners in the history of professional sports, and Lamar Hunt, you know, it was a special time and a special place. And we love Kansas City and still think of it fondly as the most enjoyable time. And in my 50-year coaching career and 38 in the National Football League, none was more special or means more to me than my time in Kansas City.
Talking with former Chiefs coach Al Saunders, and you mentioned Lamar Hunt. What made him so unique, special, however you want to quantify that, as an owner that people wanted to be around?
I think, first of all, it's the way he treated people. Lamar Hunt was the most gracious, loving person in that particular role in the National Football League, or maybe in all of pro sports. He truly had a great affinity and a great affection for the people that worked for him. And he also had such a great passion for the game. And Lamar had an ability to hire people and then kind of move out of the way and let them do their job. He trusted in the people he hired. And also people felt a great deal of obligation to Lamar to do well, because he meant so much to the game of football. He meant so much to sports in general. And everybody that worked for Lamar truly loved him. And I think that's a rare and unique ability to have throughout ownership in any professional sports.
Still one of the biggest questions to this day, and maybe forever will be with this franchise, Gerback and Gannon. Can you take us back to that scenario and why ultimately Elvis Gerback played in that game, and maybe why everything kind of is pointed still from a Chiefs debate perspective back to that one?
Yeah, that was a tough call, you know, and I remember sitting in Marty's office, and that was not an easy decision for him, because we had done very, very well with Elvis, you know, and then Rich comes in, and I can't remember the exact details, but I think he won like four games for us and was playing really well at the end of the year. But in Marty's heart of hearts, it was, you know, the old school philosophy of you don't lose your job due to injury. And, you know, he felt like at that time, and I'm not speaking for Marty, but I think he would reiterate the same and thought that he had a great deal of confidence in Elvis. There was no reason in his mind not to play Elvis. And he felt like if things didn't go well, he could always go back to Rich, who had the hot hand at that time. People could argue it was the other way around, but nobody will ever know how that game will turn out. But I think as an entire staff, you know, we always backed Marty in what we gave him our opinions, and then backed him in the decisions that he made. And I think he felt like for our football team, you know, it was in our best interest to play Elvis, and it just didn't work out that game we won. So, and then Rich went on a couple of years later to be MVP of the league. So maybe we put him on the right track. I don't know, but that was a kind of a hard one to take, because we were a real good football team at that time. But once again, we had two quarterbacks that were playing at a real high level, and you know, it takes several other people on the team to step up their game in order for us to win. So it wasn't just the quarterback position. Had we played a little bit better in some other areas, we might have won that game anyway.
Yeah, a lot of great players, as you mentioned. One that stands out that I love seeing cross that end zone, I'm sure you did too, was Priest Holmes and running behind that offensive line. Can you share some of your memories of that group?
Yeah, you know, that was a special group, because that five-year period from 2001, I think, was the first year through 2005. You know, no team gained more yards or scored more touchdowns or was more productive offensively than the Kansas City Chiefs. And I have very few pictures of football in my house. But one picture I do have is the 2003 Pro Bowl in Honolulu. And there's the photograph is the entire picture is of the Kansas City Chiefs. Tony Gonzalez was lined up as a tight end. Willie Rope was lined up as a tackle. Will Shields was lined up as a guard. Trent Green was the quarterback. Tony Richardson was the fullback, and Priest Holmes was the tailback. And that was a picture in the Pro Bowl in 2003. And that kind of just capsulized what that group was like. We had, and all of those players at one time, and Willie Rope said he couldn't play anymore because he was hurt, you know, and, you know, Tony Richardson was, you know, a tailback that was moved to fullback. Priest Holmes, they said, couldn't play anymore. And Trent Green was just a journeyman quarterback. Well, those guys together, along with the other players on the football team, you know, made the most productive offense in the history of the Chiefs organization, other than what they have there now. Patrick Mahomes will break every record that there ever was, I think, of those.
Talking with former Chiefs coach Al Saunders, and do you have a favorite moment of coaching here in Kansas City?
Oh, gosh. There are so many of them. You know, I think of all all those Hall of Fame players, and you know, the Montanas and the Marcus Allens and the Mike Websters and Derek Thomas and, you know, Willie and Will and Tony and all those, and all the games that we went through. But I think that if I was asked, you know, to name a game or something that kind of resonated with me and I'm most proud of, and was probably the game that we played against Atlanta in Arrowhead Stadium.
That's one of my favorite too, Al. That was a hell of a football game, man. Wow.
Well, you know, they were the number one defense in the National Football League at the time, and Jimmy Mora was their head coach. And Jimmy was when I was the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, I hired Jimmy. I gave him his first job in the National Football League as a quality control guy on defense, and I had a great deal of respect for his dad and knew Jim Sr. for a lot of years. But they came in as the number one team in the National Football League on defense, the number one rushing team. And they had talked a lot before the game about how effective they were and how good their defense was. And I remember we had a fourth down situation, and it was like about midfield or something. And they went for it. And I remember saying to Dick Vermeil on the phone, I said, Coach, I said, that's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. I said, I hope we score 100 on these guys. And we ended up scoring 8 rushing touchdowns. Priest rushed for 8 for 4 in the first half. And then Derek Blaylock rushed for 4 in the second half. And I think we won 56-0. I think it's still an NFL record. Nobody's ever scored 8 rushing touchdowns in one game in the history of the National Football League. And I remember, this is a true story, in the fourth quarter, Dick said, on third down, just kneel on the ball. He said, just take a knee. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I've known Jimmy Mora ever since he was a young kid. His dad is one of my best friends. And I says, I know, Coach. So let's score 100 on him if we can. I'll never forget that. But that game was just, it meant so much to me, because not only did Priest Holmes had just a phenomenal game, to Derek Blaylock, who was one of my favorite players there during the time at Kansas City, had a tremendous game. And it just was the kind of the essence of Kansas City football. You know, we were really good, but nobody had to say anything about it. We just did it on the field. And it was such a great group to be around. And Priest was certainly a catalyst of us doing so well. And in under the guidance of guys like Trent Green and Tony Gonzalez and, you know, and the other guys that we had on the field that were just outstanding.
If you could redo one moment, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. That's a difficult question. I keep thinking about the 2003 Indy game. You know, I'd like to have had more time. Maybe if we called more timeouts earlier, we'd have more time left on the clock at the end. I don't know. but that's a hard one, because there weren't very many situations or times in my time in Kansas City that I regret it. You know, it was just such a phenomenal experience with some great people in a great area of our country that I have no regrets. I don't know that there's anything I would rather, that I would do over. I would like to have, you know, won a couple more playoff games or gone to the Super Bowl, but in terms of one thing to do over, I just wish I would have talked Marty Schottenheimer into not leaving, you know, better, or tried to talk Dick Vermeil into not retiring the second time. The thing that I told both of those guys when they left the organization was that the tragedy of you retiring, Marty, or leaving, and same thing with Dick, is nobody will ever be able to coach for you again, or nobody will ever be able to play for you again. And those are two of the finest men and the greatest coaches that I've ever had the privilege of being associated with. And I think that if anything is disappointing, is that both of those men left the Kansas City Chiefs when they could have continued there and been even more successful than they were before they left.
So do you think this operation gets it done now? They get that Super Bowl for the Chiefs?
Well, I hope so. I tell you, they've got a great head coach, and they've got a great quarterback, and you know, they got the Hunt family that still owns the football team, and nobody's any better in the stands than that red wave on Sunday afternoons. And I've always pulled for the Chiefs. It's really funny, because even when I was on teams that when we played the Chiefs, you look down there on the field and my mind almost went to the Kansas City Chiefs, as I felt like when they went out on the field on offense, I was ready to call a play. You know, it's just a fabulous place and such a I do hope they go to the Super Bowl. I'm pulling for them every week.
Al, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. It's really great talking to you again.
Al Saunders, former Chiefs offensive coordinator, part of our 60th anniversary series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of these that we've had some discussions with some really, really good people. You were out yesterday, but I caught up with Herm Edwards out at Arizona State, and like we're getting texts like he's got to go, and he's like well into talking about the Chiefs. Like he had no interest in going to practice yesterday. Of course, practice yesterday. Why are they practicing at 9 o'clock in the morning? Aren't those kids in class? like that was the first thing that I thought of yesterday. We taped the interview at about 10
you
o'clock.
You thought of the children?
Yeah, well, but they're not going to practice at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, right?
Maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Kids have study hall.
Well, maybe that's what
it was.
Football.
I don't know, though. That NCAA commercial where they showed you the life of a student athlete, like he woke up pretty early. He was in class.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was in the
But class, not practice.
Yeah.
Not practice. We're talking about class.
We're here talking about practice?
Not practice.
You can check out some of our other 60th anniversary interviews, podcast section, on-demand section at 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. The perfect presser, just not for your team. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
This was perfect, except for if it was your team. Jalen Ramsey put on a little show yesterday in Jacksonville.
I'm sure Jaguar fans didn't like it as much as we all liked
it. No, not at all.
I had no issue whatsoever.
Well, it was very entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
It's like, usually I don't watch a full press conference because most of them are boring as all hell.
Yeah.
You want to, like, rip your eyes out?
Yeah, I was all in on the Jalen Ramsey.
I never understand how we will bitch about players never saying anything.
And then when players they do, say so, we're complain.
Like, what the hell are you saying here? What are you doing here?
Can't believe you would say this. Why not? That's what we want.
Might be why they never say anything.
He didn't want to, but then spent 16 minutes answering questions.
I know y'all got a lot of questions, man. I really don't want to answer, too many questions from everybody. It's a lot of people in here today. I don't want to answer every single little question that y'all got about different situations and what came about to lead to this point. I have nothing bad or negative to say at all about anybody in this building. Shit happens. It is what it is. I think everybody, for the most part, knows what's up. So I don't really too much want to speak on it and give no detail. I'm gonna let God do his work. I'm gonna let my agent do his work and everybody gonna work it out, and I'm gonna focus on what I can focus on. And right now that's being a good teammate still while I'm here. Getting ready for the game, supporting my guys, and just being Jalen, man, at the end of the day.
Just being Jalen.
Gonna be a good teammate while I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm still playing for the Jags while I'm still here. Expect to play Thursday night. Yeah, while I'm still here.
Yeah.
But at least he didn't try to say, well, I'm only talking about the Titans game.
Right,
about
Thursday. Pull that kind of nonsense, yeah.
Or, not speak at all, which he very well could have. Very well could have just kept quiet.
Right.
They moved him up. He's not available this week.
I'm surprised the Jaguars not only made him available, but set him up at a podium setting like that as well. Like, in Kansas City, if something like that was going on, you wouldn't see that guy.
Let it happen for 16 minutes or whatever it was.
You wouldn't even know that guy existed in Kansas City. He'd be eating lunch, or in the weight room or whatever. Like, the Chiefs would never make a guy like that available. I give credit to the Jags for making Jalen Ramsey available and letting him get up there for almost 20 minutes and opine. And never once did you hear the PR guy go, okay, one more. Like, he let that guy go and let Jalen Ramsey go out there and talk for close to 20 minutes yesterday about everything. It was great.
Ramsey says he wasn't the one that leaked that he wanted out.
Well, let's be clear about something in regards to that. I didn't leak that information.
Who did?
Me and my agent, we are not the ones who leaked that information. And I was very strict about that. Because I did not want it to get out, and I didn't want it to be a distraction. I didn't want everybody asking my teammates all type of questions throughout the week. So let me be real clear about that. I was not the one, me and my team, we was not the one that leaked that information because I thought about my teammates. I thought about stuff like that. So y'all need to ask the other side or whoever.
And by me and my team, he did not mean the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No. His team,
agent and his people.
Right.
And you ask the other guys. Clearly now the other guys are the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right. So those are the other guys who may have leaked this information. I don't want to say I find it hard that a team would leak some information like this, but usually when it's a player wants to be traded, what good does the team have coming out and saying this guy wants to be traded because we suck and he needs to go? You know, usually it is the agent who comes out and says that kind of stuff, or the player tells a friend who tells somebody to get that information out there. Usually when it's the leaking of a player wants to be traded, it's not the team. However, as I'm talking through this a little bit, you can see why the team would say he wants to be traded to kind of curry favor with their fans. So when they ultimately do trade Jalen Ramsey, the fan base doesn't lash out at the organization and say, you guys stink. You're not doing what it takes to win. We hate you. We're not buying tickets. They can say, look, this guy wanted to get out here. We didn't want to trade this guy. He's a good football player, but he was begging us to be traded. So we just accommodated him.
He doesn't, he doesn't want to be here.
Yes.
Angle. Go with that one. I did also like one that he said, I don't want to miss. He's what he said. I don't want to mislead any of you, but I also don't want to answer.
Yeah.
like I don't want to lie about the situation going on. He did completely ignore the fact that he got into a sideline altercation with Doug Marrone, which was the final straw.
Yeah, but we all saw that.
Everybody saw it, but he was pretty much ignoring by the fact that it happened.
Right. Yeah, what happened on the sidelines? We're playing the Titans this week.
Yeah, I mean he was kind of evasive there, which was fine. Made it kind of comical again. If that's your team, not as funny, but comical.
Oh, if it's your team, you're mad. Like if this was going on here in Kansas City, we'd be livid. Why is this guy distracting everybody? Why is this guy taking attention away from the team? Yeah. We just want to go out there and play football. We got a good football team. Why is this guy doing this? Oh, huh? Maybe that's part of the reason why the Chiefs aren't trading for this guy.
And then he was leaving things up to God and his agent.
That's right. The agent will take care of everything.
Which I love because there you can't. Well, I'm just going to leave it up to God.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You can't. There's nothing
to say.
I can't go.
Imagine God walking around with like two cell phones trying to get Ramsey's deal done.
It's
just stressed out.
Can we leave God out of this and can we just talk about your agent? You know, there's no. It's a perfect
play. His shirt's unbuttoned, his ties undone a little bit.
It's the perfect athlete.
Got a high ball.
Water crisis out west and a deer crisis in the Midwest. But my God, let me get Jalen Ramsey figured out first before I take care of this.
It's the perfect athlete play.
Right. It is. No, it's a great athlete play. It's a great really anything play. Somebody on the text line said, you know, the next time a bill collector calls me, I'm just going to say God's handling it.
Yeah. What's the comeback?
What's the bill collector
I'm just going to leave that up to God.
I'm just leaving everything up to God.
We'll talk to you later then.
Oh, what a presser.
Talk to you later.
No news on the trade of Jalen Ramsey at the moment, other than Ian Rapoport didn't think it was going to happen because they're playing on Thursday night.
Correct.
And, they're not going to make a move at this point in time. We'll see. Continue to refresh. The big finish coming up, and the Clarks live on. Next.
Blake Bell.
Fesco in the morning.
Suddenly he's on the best game of the weekend. Ian Eagle of CBS.
Yep. Not suddenly.
Who joined us earlier in the show today.
Suddenly he's, salad. Maybe.
Suddenly
he's
when
calling, I... calling Chiefs and Ravens coming up on Sunday, which... I think is the game of the week.
Well, it is. And suddenly when I watch Patrick Mahomes play, life has new meaning to me. It's beauty up above. Sometimes I take notice of. Then I wake up and suddenly I'm in love with Patrick Mahomes.
You know, way too many lyrics from that song.
It's a song. I got it.
What song?
Anyway, Ian Eagle of CBS on the week 3 showdown, Chiefs and Ravens.
To me, guys, this is the premier matchup in the NFL this week because there's so much curiosity with these two QBs. We know what Mahomes is. He's the MVP of the league. Once you've won that award, there's no more proving yourself. There's no more showing everybody what you're capable of. Everybody knows what you're capable of. The amazing part is that he's actually showing that he has more in there. It's not limited to just 2018. We're already seeing the command of Mahomes in 2019 and the decision-making skills that I believe are now better than they were a year ago. And then on the other side with Lamar Jackson, you know what happens in this league. Opinions are formed, and then it's hard to break those opinions until you've now strung together strong performance after strong performance after strong performance. And no longer should there be a question about Baltimore's future with Lamar Jackson, a quarterback.
the guy's the real deal, and he's only getting better. The dual threat is still there, of course. What he did against Miami was mesmerizing. The Dolphins are in a bad way right now, but they exhibited what Lamar Jackson is all about. He has a real understanding of this offense, and I think it's been a really good marriage between him and Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. He's been creative, and this team, they're dangerous. You look at the way the AFC is set up right now with some of the injuries at quarterback around the league. I think Baltimore is going to be in this thing to the end. They've got all the pieces in place.
CBS's Ian Eagle joining us earlier mentioned the quarterbacks, obviously. This from NFL Research, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, the only quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to have at least a 70-plus completion percentage, 7-plus TD passes, and 0 interceptions over the first 2 games of a season.
It's really incredible, these two dudes.
We have 2 of the fastest starts of quarterbacks going head-to-head in week number 3.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't think we realized how good this matchup was truly going to be when the season started. I don't think anybody – if you said – starting the season 2 weeks ago, you were all in on Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, you probably would have had to do some convincing of yourself. After watching him for 2 weeks now, and I know it was against the Cardinals and the Dolphins, and they're not great teams, but we didn't exactly beat world beaters either in the first 2 games of the season. You have to be a believer, though, of Lamar Jackson. I mean, this guy's really, really good. And as we were talking about earlier, Ryan, Carrington said to us, he's only lost 1 regular season game as the starting quarterback, and that was the Chiefs game here at Arrowhead, and they almost won that football game. They had every opportunity to win that football game, and if Patrick Mahomes doesn't make a Patrick Mahomes type of play on that 4th and 9, Baltimore wins that football game, and he's undefeated as a regular season quarterback.
That, and I just, you want to say, well, who have they played? They played the Dolphins and the Cardinals. I'll give you the Dolphins, but are you willing to say that the Cardinals' defense is worse than the Chiefs? I feel like it's on par.
I don't know. I mean, what did they hold them? They're 28 points last week, and then they held the Detroit Lions down into the teens the week prior. I think it probably on par, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I thought the last 3 quarters of what the Chiefs did defensively was very good. To be honest with you, I have not watched the Arizona Cardinals play a lot of football in the first 2 weeks of the season. That hasn't been one of the games that I've chosen to view. Maybe I should in the future. I don't think I will, but I mean, that's not a team that I'm watching. So I don't know how good their defense truly is.
And I mean,
but I know, I think the Chiefs'
small
defense,
sample size too, but I mean, right now they're like bottom 3 in the NFL total defense wise. But again, you look at last week's performance, and I think their defense took a big step forward in week 2. I don't necessarily think that the Chiefs defense is exactly that much better.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. Would you rather have that Chiefs defense that played against the Ravens last season or the Chiefs defense right now? I think the Chiefs defense right now,
capable safeties.
Right, is better than what faced the
even
Ravens last year.
Even with a more evolved Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, even with a more evolved. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Josh. He's definitely more evolved than he was a season ago. Because I think his first game in as a starter was Kansas City, wasn't it? First or second game as a starter was here in Kansas City. So he was still kind of new at that spot. So to me, I think the Chiefs' defense is better right now than it was when they faced Lamar Jackson the last time. And so I think the Chiefs are going to win this football game. I don't think this game's in any kind of doubt, but I think it is going to be a very entertaining, very fun game to watch on Sunday afternoon. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get out there.
Time for the big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Big finish brought to you by Evernew. Tyreek Hill put out a video. I believe it's part of an attempt to, it's kind of the image rebuilding.
Yeah, he's got to rebuild his image. Yeah, whether you agree
process,
with him, disagree with him, he's got an image to rebuild.
Whatever the playbook is, it says here's what you. Now it's putting out a video. I love Kansas City. I love the Chiefs.
Right. Correct.
Thanks for standing
by. He's
got
a nice new contract.
All those things.
And, he's got some image rebuilding to do. Yeah. If he wants to take it to the next step as an NFL player with the off-the-field endorsements and things like that, he absolutely 100% has to rebuild his image. Or build his image, for that matter.
So he discusses that, but you'll really want to stay for the thank yous at the tail end of this thing.
I really ain't started appreciating the game till probably when I almost had a game taken away from me, you know what I'm saying? And that's when it really clicked with me that I really need to start being thankful for the things that I got in front of me, you know what I'm saying? my attributes being included. So I just really started loving the game, appreciating the game, and appreciating the people that put me in this position to play the game that I love, you know what I'm saying? The Clark family, Coach Reed, Brett Veach, you know what I'm saying? All of those guys putting that trust and faith in me, you know what I'm saying, to go out each Sunday and do what I got to do, you know what I'm saying? Not only on the field, but off the field as well, too, though. So that's why I love being here in Kansas City, man, because the relationships I've made, my family has made, is just tremendous, man.
Okay. Started appreciating football, I guess, training camp.
Sure.
When he almost found himself out of football.
That's right.
Okay.
He was close to being out of football.
So that's where he discovered his love. But the most important part is he thanked the Clark family.
Clark family.
So it continues.
From a long line of thanking the Clark family.
I talked to the Clarks, Mr. Hunts and
Jamal.
Clarks Dwayne, and Mr. Hunts.
Right.
Clarks and Mr. Hunts.
Dwayne Bowe.
Debo apologizing to the Clarks.
Deeply apologizing to the Clarks.
He was deeply apologizing.
Yeah, I deeply apologized to the Clarks.
And I think Frank Clark even clarked it.
That's
once.
Understandable, though. He is a Clark.
He is a Clark, yeah.
He can say that.
Yeah.
I felt like that was more of a joke.
No.
I think the other ones are genuinely have felt like they're the Clarks. And not the Hunts.
I think
he said and then Tyreek said the Clark family.
The Clark family. I think for me, Clark is more of a last name than it is a first name, right? I mean, if somebody would say to you the name Clark, you probably think it's a last name.
I would think Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold.
Yeah.
Name another.
So, I deeply apologize to the Clark.
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. Hunt. Yeah, Clark Hunt. All right. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm just trying to say.
I talked to the Clarks, Mr. Hunts, and.
I think ultimately
the Clarks and Mr. Hunts.
Yeah, both of them.
You got to get a little ways to go, Tyreek, to get the Jamal status. But you did say the Clark family.
Yeah. So I think ultimately it is a last name, man. It is. It's a last name, and there's a player on their team wearing number 55. That's Clark. I mean, so I can understand.
Deeply apologize to the Clarks.
You think he owes the Clarks an apology?
Maybe. I really wonder who all these Clarks are.
What about the Clark Bar?
That's a good one. What about?
Oh, that could be a last name, too.
When they beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship
Clark Barr is the last name.
Oh, Barr. I got you. Okay.
Last name, yeah.
Clark Barr, yeah.
Duh.
First name.
When they win the AFC Championship game this year, are they going to get the Clark trophy or the Hunt trophy?
Then this is where it really comes down to me. The Chiefs have prided themselves on the history of the organization.
Right. They really
do
a good job with it.
Anyone
right?
and everyone. You just pass by the stadium, someone's grabbing you, go, hey, do you know the legacy of. Of a Lamar Hunt.
I talked to Mr. Hunts, and
you can't get away from it if you try.
Right, you can't. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just ingrained in their history.
I mean, it's one of the big names of the NFL,
except right. in the locker room.
Right, except for the players who they teach the history too.
I'm thinking there's a lot of history that goes into being drafted by the team and some things that they teach you.
Sure.
And apparently, none of them are paying attention because they continually call them the Clarks.
Right.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Jay.
So it goes on now with Tyreek.
Yeah.
It has been passed on through many a football generation.
I deeply apologize to the Clark.
Nothing will be as good as Dwayne's.
To Jamal.
It's a traditional.
I talked to the Clarks, Mr. Hunts. And
that's a tradition unlike any other.
To now Tyreek.
There is a band out of Pittsburgh called the Clarks. And I know for a fact, because somebody told me inside the front office, they were trying to get them to perform the national anthem years ago.
Putting that trust and faith in me, you know what I'm saying, to go out each Sunday and do what I got to do, you know what I'm saying, not only on the field, but off the field as well, too, though. So that's why I love being here in Kansas City, man, because the relationships I've made, my family has made.
With the Clarks mm-hmm. and the Clark family.
Oh, he's talking about the fans. He's talking about
the
fans.
Clarks.
Sounds a little bit like Weezer's Buddy Holly.
That's the Clarks.
That's the Clarks.
Doesn't sound anything like Weezer's.
It reminds me a little bit of that.
You should apologize to the Clarks.
I deeply apologize to the Clarks.
That feels like the note to go out on.
What the hell did that band do wrong?
So there's Big Finish.
The Clarks, Mr. Hunts.
All these guys in Pittsburgh are like, these guys aren't calling us.
Brought to you by Evernew, Kansas City's first independent health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's EVRNUclinics.com. Coming up on Show and Vern. What? They're stealing a bit. Doting on spags? Is that a thing?
Just do it again and we'll use take two.
They're doting on spags?
We'll cut that.
How about Clark Kent, it. Superman fan?
Good stuff.
That's
Sean Ver cool. Next.
Talk to you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.